You're not big enough. You're not strong enough or talented enough. You're not smart enough. You simply don't have what it takes. Have you looked at your numbers lately? Welcome to In the Bullpen with Mark Dewey. You're listening to the Fight Laugh Feast Network. Thank you for joining us.
And look who's coming up. High fly ball into right field. She is gone!
Well, you might be saying to yourself right now, that's not exactly the Christmas greeting that I was looking for. Well, be patient, because I think that before this podcast is over, you'll see it has the potential of being very merry. We have a guest joining us today who's heard all those things I said in the intro, both to himself and to others. He speaks to individuals and groups around the country, ranging from Major League Baseball All-Stars to Little Leaguers and parents of baseball players of all ages. And he will speak to anybody who will listen. And his goal's simple. He wants to help baseball players continue playing the game as long as they desire and to get the most out of their ability. He wants to help all of us to avoid the traps that so easily entangle us. Steve Springer joins us today. Steve, thank you for joining me in the bullpen today.
Mark, it's great to be here, buddy. Finally get this thing going, man. I look forward to it.
Yeah, so do I. So you and I got to know one another back in the early 90s. We played together both in Tidewater and in New York with the Mets. You also played in the big leagues a bit for the Cleveland Indians. But what you're doing now entails not only that portion of your life, but really what happened before you even got into pro ball. So tell us a little bit about your story prior to entering into professional baseball.
I love it, buddy. I think everybody has a story, and I love my story. I feel I'm the baseball version of Rudy. I didn't start in high school. I got cut in college, and I played in the big leagues. That doesn't happen to everybody, but I truly believe that everybody has a story. And if I would have listened to everybody that told me I was too small, you're only here because your brother, I don't know what I'd be doing right now. And, you know, I'm from Huntington Beach, California, and I went to Marina High School. When I went into high school, Mark, I was 4'11", 90 pounds. I was like the smallest kid in the school. You know, the guy's like, what's that little kid doing here? You know, and I make the team because my brother's the star of the team. I got 3 at-bats the whole year. I coached first base. My sophomore year, all my buddies went up to JV and varsity, and I stayed on soft roster, but I got to play, and I'm glad I did, because I would rather play at a lower level in high school than sit the bench at a higher level. My junior year, all my buddies are on varsity, and I was on JV. Got to play some more. In my senior year, I'm 5'8", 140 pounds, so I grew 9 inches in high school. I went from tiny to small. I was the smallest senior, but I'm a senior, and I'm going to show them I can finally play. And I had a sophomore take my job. I did not start my senior year in high school. I end up coaching first base again. Where I'm from, I got 50 colleges within 50 miles of me. I don't get recruited by anybody. My brother goes to Golden West Junior College. He's all state. I'm thinking the coach knows I'm coming there. He didn't have to call me because he didn't. And I went out for the team during the summer, and I got cut, you know, which is baffling to me to this day on how bad this coach thought I sucked. Like, my brother's the best player on the team, and I got cut. So I did what anybody would do. I got a job at Disneyland working on the canoes and got a little stronger. But about 3 days later, my brother came home with a uniform because 3 guys quit. So I was 19 years old, freshman in college. I got 3 at-bats the whole year again, and I played in the big league. So anybody out there, if people are telling you're too small, you're not good enough, if you have any ability, man, keep playing. There's so many colleges across the country that are looking for players, and, you know, they get good grades. And you know, here I am, you know, fortunately my sophomore year in saying that, you know, nobody's too small, but I grew 4 inches when I was 20. And so now I got a new body. I went from a second string second baseman to an all conference shortstop in 1 year. I'm getting recruited by all these colleges. I got a full ride to Long Beach State, full ride to Irvine, full ride to UCLA. I'm going to UCLA full ride. My best friend, Rich Amaral, is going there, who spent 9 years in the big leagues, didn't get there till he was 29 years old. You talk about grinding. It was the greatest 5 days of my life. So he looked at my transcripts. He was like, really, buddy, you took badminton, tennis? I couldn't get in, Mark. I was a bad student. I was immature physically and mentally. Like, I felt I was ready to go to high school when I was in college. And I don't know what happened, man, but I ended up getting a full ride to University of Utah. I had a buddy go up there, and he got a brand new coach. He had two scholarships. He said, if you get this dummy in, trust me, you want him. And I ended up getting in, and I hurt my arm. Weather's a little bit different in Utah than California, and I ended up DHing the whole year. But this is the best thing about baseball, because whether you're in travel ball, high school, college, if you're lucky enough to play pro baseball, you're evaluated every day by somebody. And we had 50 scouts in the stands against Brigham Young to see Rick Aguilera, Wally Joyner, and Corey Snyder, all 15-year big leaguers. Kids out there, I want you to think Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, and Clayton Kershaw. That's who these guys were in the day. And I went 5 for 5 with a bomb, 2 doubles, and 5 RBIs. And scout never heard of me. It was the very first day I played the outfield of my life. I sucked in the outfield, but he never heard of me. So I get drafted by the New York Mets in the 20th round, went to Little Falls, New York, and hit like 246. See, pro baseball, as you know, is a different game. Yes. As a pitcher and a hitter. And you're getting 5 at-bats a day every day, whether you want them or not. And I was so tired, man. I never played that many games in a row. So I come home, my brother got picked up by the Tigers, and we went in the room or the weight room and got bigger, stronger, faster, not taller. I went to my first spring training. I barely made the low A ball team. And, I'm like the fifth outfielder still. And about a month into the season, our second baseman gets traded. And I told our coach, John Tamargo, I said, hey, John, I'm an infielder. Can I play second? And I swear he paused and he said, well, thank God, 'cause you suck in the outfield. I'm like, And so I end up playing second base, and everything's going great. 8th inning ground ball, double play, right between my legs. So that sucked. I didn't play there about a week. A week goes by, lets me play there again. Everything's going real good. 8th inning ground ball, double play, right between my legs again. But I got 4 hits that day. And anybody out there listening, you better hit if you're going to play. And I end up leading the league in hits. I had 50 hits in August. Sort of turned myself into a prospect. Went home, me and my brother Lifton, go to Instruction League now. They're treating me a little bit different. Mm-hmm. My double A team, we had like 18 guys in the big leagues. You know, Billy Bean, Moneyball guy, I was in his wedding. And so, you know, the next year we win it all. And then the next year I go to AAA. And, dude, I spent 11 years in AAA. And at the time I'm like, really, God, 11 years, huh? And now I know why he put me there for 11 years. Because whether I was talking to you, whether I'm talking to dad of a 10-year-old or a major league all-star, my message is the same. And I love when I speak. But that's basically the baseball version of Rudy. And we could go on to another subject, but it was awesome. I wouldn't trade it for a bit. I got saved through baseball chapel in pro baseball. So everything's worked out pretty good.
Yeah, that is a great story. I don't want to get off that story either, except for I just want to say this. God bless the people of Huntington Beach. But we'll move on from there. So what yes, you are doing now is you are running something called Quality at Bats. And really, when you think about what you're doing, as you mentioned, it may be a 10-year-old player. It may be a father of a 10-year-old player, or it may be perennial all-stars like Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt. How do you run that gamut, and what is the message that you're trying to convey, whether it's that 10-year-old kid or whether it's an all-star?
Well, I believe that everybody's got two players in them. I got confident Nolan Arenado, who's an absolute star, and I got non-confident Nolan Arenado, who sucks, and he can't play anymore. How do we get the right guy playing is what I teach, whether you're 10, whether you're an all-star, whether you're in college. Baseball's set up with so many mental minefields, it's mind-blowing. And too many players let their mind get in the way of their ability. When I speak, and I speak all over the country, anybody out there wants to come speak to your program, my main vein when I speak is your career starts when you say, I don't care what I hit. The batting average is the biggest trap in the game. I hit 3 balls right in the screws right at somebody. I beat the pitcher. The pitcher knows I beat him. Pitcher's mom knows I beat him. Right? My batting average comes down. I think I failed, and now the wrong me starts playing. So my whole thing is to get players to do 4 things every day. Walk up to plate with confidence, with an attainable goal to hit the ball hard, attack the inside part of the speed we're looking for, and I'll talk about that a little later maybe. And if we had a game tonight, I'm looking for you to be the best competitor on the field to help the team win the game. See, too many players play this game to get 3 hits. But when you play to win the game, I don't know, something just happens better. If you could play every day like it's opening day, remember opening day, Mark, every single day, every single year? Yeah. I mean, 100% confidence. Why? Because I got no yesterday beating me up. And this is what happens not only in baseball, but in life. We let yesterday beat us up today. I'm a Christian. I let yesterday's sins beat me up today. Really? Why would I do that? He died for them all. But we as men, as players, we focus on the negative too much, you know, over the positive. You know, as a Christian, I think about my sin more than my Savior. It makes no sense. But in baseball, when you start thinking about yesterday's 0-4, now today I'm 0-2, and now my mind, I'm 0-6, and I'm letting yesterday's bad game play today, and yet I got a new game, new pitcher, new hero every single day that we play. Augie Garrido, Hall of Fame coach, God bless him, passed away. I spoke to the University of Texas in 2012, and I didn't know how they were doing. I knew their one of their coaches. I'm in Austin. I said, hey, you want me to speak to your team? He's like, Spring, we need you at the beginning of the year. If we go 6-0 the last 2 weeks, we don't make our conference championship. There were 7 games out with 6 to play. The top 8 teams made. They were the only team that didn't make it. They almost got fired. He said, Augie's not going to pay you. I said, I'll do it for free. I want to meet Augie. So I went in there, Mark, and I drove to Baylor. They were actually playing Baylor. I drove to Waco. And Augie said he knew me. He didn't know me. He knew of me. And I could not have spoke better. I could have told 16 players to go stand in the corner. They would have did it. I was about ready to leave. And my buddy's like, Augie wants to see you again. I go in there. He's like, okay, buddy, we're going to pay you for that. And I want you in here next year for 3 days. What's your price? I said, I want you to pay me as much as you can pay me without anything coming out of your pocket. He said, nothing comes out of our pocket. I'm like, good. So I go in there. I go in there 3 days or 3 months later, same exact team with freshmen. And they were one game away from the national championship that year. He said, he gave me the best compliment I've ever had. He said, it's my favorite line. You get everybody playing like it's opening day, and I don't give a crap mode about me. And that's when the magic happens. Because if you like your abilities and your abilities aren't showing up, it's not your abilities problem. It's what you're thinking. And, you know, and there's just stories like that. And whether I just got off the phone before I talked to you with the dad of a 14-year-old. You know, and I'll get same exact stuff we're talking about right now. I'm like Milli Vanilli. I'm a walking CD, but it's right. You know, and if it's right, why? I mean, we're always learning. You know, you say something I like, I'm giving you credit once, and then it's mine. Like I didn't come out of the womb with what I know, and this is so why you keep talking baseball. You keep talking about, you know, the mind and the compete and being a better competitor than you are a player. Like, I played in 1,591 minor league games, and I had 1,592 hits. I was so happy to see that. I got 2 hits in each league in the big leagues. Doesn't sound that great. But after the story I just told you about my amateur career, I'll take those 2 hits in the big leagues. Yeah. You know, and God's given me the ability to speak and try and help kids. And I've spoken in front of 6,000 coaches 3 times. And, dude, if I'm walking downtown Huntington Beach and I see a kid that plays baseball with his parents, my wife knows I'm talking. She says she'll be like, "Dad, see, we're going to be in the store right here." I cannot not talk to a kid that plays baseball and try to get him a mental game. Like I'll get a dad call me up, Mark, and he'll say, "Yeah, my 10-year-old's got no mental game." And I'm like, "Bro, he's got no physical game. He's 10."
Yes.
You know, it's like everybody wants to put their kid in a microwave instead of an oven. You know, and this is what I told this dad of a 14-year-old day. He's playing 4 years in high school, 4 years in college. And if he's lucky enough to play pro baseball, bro, now we're in. But come on, it's okay if he doesn't win the Burger King Championship at 10.
Yes.
Like Vanderbilt's not panicking right now.
Yeah, a lot of dads are, but yeah, your Vanderbilt is not. The Mets aren't. There's no professional team panicking or even worried about a 10-year-old.
Too many players quit this game at 13 years old because of the pressure that's put on them by the one who loves them the most. Us parents and Johnny Testosterone coach yelling at my 13-year-old and to win the Burger King Championship. And now all of a sudden the kid quits. And the parent and the parent's like, "Well, what happened?" I'm like, "I know what happened. You were a whack job." And now he doesn't want to play anymore. And then he gets to turn 17. He's got this great body. He wants to play again. And he just lost 4 years of instincts.
Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of things I would like to go into a little bit further. Two I want to make sure we get to. One is what we just kind of finished up on. That's what I'm seeing. And it's multiple reasons. It's too much pressure. It's too much money. In other words, the cost. But so many people now at 12 or 13, if they're not physically developed, if they don't have the money, or even if they have the money but they don't have the ability to do what travel ball requires, they're kind of out of this game. And they don't have a chance to just enjoy being, for a lack of a better term, because I don't even know if we can use it anymore, a little league baseball player. And then, like you said, when they're 17, 18 years old, baseball is a tough game to go 4 or 5 years between the ages of 12 and 17 or 18 and come back and play. That, you know, you and I both played with DJ Dozier, who went, what, 6 years, but that was between high school and college. That's a little bit different. But when you're talking about the development age of 12 or 13 to 17 or 18, that's huge. So how is it, beside what you've just said, how do you encourage people to just relax a little bit, right? Winning the national championship for 10U is not that big of a deal. What kind of message do you give?
Well, I want kids to keep playing. I don't want them quitting with their little kid body, you know, and now all of a sudden they get a young man body and not even their man body, and they've already quit. And, you know, this is why we have to keep it fun. Like, baseball's not a 3-hour timeout. Nobody's in trouble. You know, sometimes we think we're in trouble. It's one of my lines when I speak. If you play with tension, anxiety, and pressure, go join the military, because that's where that's at, God bless them. We're playing baseball, and it's a game, but we've turned it into just a money-making machine that my son's going to get hosed if he's 12 and he's not starting, you know, and yet he's 100 pounds away from his man body. And so this is why I truly feel I should be the ambassador for youth baseball and making sure that parents know what I know, because the parent is the kid's number one coach because he lives with them. You know, and so this is why the parents need to buy in to what I'm talking about and get my audios and get in my Quality at Bat Academy. And, you know, you want a little plug? Yeah, it's qualityatbatsacademy.com. It's all teaching us, you know, really how to act as a baseball parent. You know, they say, you know, you be a parent doesn't come with a manual. Either if your kid plays baseball. So, you know, there's a lot of good information out there. There's a lot of not good information out there. But when you start talking about having fun and competing with confidence and getting rid of stats and you hit the ball hard, you win. You know, when I go speak, I'll say, when somebody asks you what you do for a living, you tell me you hit balls hard for a living. And if you get a hit, it's a bonus. And you change what you think success is to get the right guy playing every single day. I can't have a goal where I can do everything right and go 0-4. It's the biggest trap in the game. Right? A.J. Pollock, star center fielder with the Dodgers, Diamondbacks. He got my stuff when he was in college at Notre Dame. In his sophomore year, he went to the Cape. He said, spring. He said, you know, somebody burnt me a copy. I'm like, all right, well, you owe me $20. Spring's illegal. And then he goes on. He said, I listen to it every single day. See, we give ourselves too much credit to remember what we're taught. And I give you my whole spiel, come back in a week, and you play, and what I say, you're getting 20%. Mm-hmm. Well, he listened to it every day. He was MVP of the Cape. And he's like my son now. We've talked, you know, once, twice a week his whole career. Why does he keep calling me? Because he knows what I'm going to say before I say it. Mm-hmm. Because there's something about going 0-4 where you lose your memory. It's in our DNA. It's in our baseball DNA. And then a couple of years ago, he shot me a text. He said, spring, it's been a tough 2 weeks, but I will line out 5 times tonight. That's what I tell these guys to do. See if you can line out. Good hitters line out more. And I know what he said, what he meant, but what he said was he's still thinking about the last 2 weeks being tough. So I called him out. I said, bro, I get what you're saying, but really? The last 2 weeks have been tough. I got a new game, new pitcher, new hero tonight, and you're playing another 6 years, and you're worried about the last 2 weeks being tough? And he says, you're so right now. He said, I'll line out 5 times tonight. I'm like, oh boy. Dude, I get a text from after the game. He said, spring, my bad. I only lined out once. He went 4-for-5 with a bomb and 2 doubles. And it sounds so easy, but what's the alternative? You make it about me. You make it about yesterday. I'm 1-for-20. You know, Paul Goldschmidt's his new best friend. He's about ready to get sent down his rookie year after he just hit 8 home runs in September. He's like, dude, call this guy. He's hitting 180 with 2 bombs, right? I get a call from Goldschmidt. I don't even know what he looks like. And my first word out of his mouth is, my mouth was, your career starts today, bro. When you say, I don't care what I hit. I said, the batting average is the biggest trap in the game. He was like 1-for-20 at the time. I said, if you go 3-for-4 tonight, Goldie, the media still says you suck. Now you're 4-for-24. And they want to keep you down there. You play every day like it's opening day. Try to land off 5 times. Well, thank God he got 2 hits that night, right? Now he's calling, hey, spring, what do you got, babe? The same thing I tell the dad of a 10-year-old. Hit the ball hard, you win. Help your team. It's not about you. Mm-hmm. I got one more great story. Mark, I was at a Christian retreat, PAO. You've probably been to it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm in a 7-man group, 10 o'clock at night, don't know anybody. And I hadn't introduced myself. At the time, I was the mental coach with the Blue Jays. And my name is Steve Springer. And I see this 20-year-old kid just smiling. And I said, you got my CD, don't you, buddy? He's like, I can't believe you're here, man. I had it for 5 years. He says, I can't wait till I tell my brother-in-law you're here. He's going to flip. I said, who's your brother-in-law? He said, Ben Zobrist. I go, Ben Zobrist got my CD? Well, he owes me $20. I never saw his name. I got to meet him and collect, right? So we meet that night. Dude, he gave me the biggest hug. He couldn't believe I was there. He said, dude, you changed the way I think. He was 25 years old, in AA, beating himself up, non-confident Ben playing, always chasing hits. He said, when I heard that batting average thing spring, it was the biggest trap in the game. And now I won every at-bat. Now I'm 0-4 with 4 strikeouts, and I would look at that lineup. I need 2 guys to get on so I can be the hero. He said, 2 years later, he's a Major League All-Star mark at 27. He didn't get better physically at 27. He got out of his own way. And this is what we need to do. We need to get out of our own way so our abilities can show up every day.
The second thing I wanted to make sure we hit, and you mentioned it again, it's not about me. You talked about competing to help your team win. Because, again, as I look around, I see a lot of what's going on now is it is all about me, me, me. It's about me showcasing my talents. It's about me showing either how far I can hit a ball or how hard I can hit a ball. But they don't give the World Series trophy to people that can do that. They give the World Series trophy to the teams that compete to win and compete together. So talk about that a little bit and what message you give to people with that.
Well, I think that's everything. It just seemed like when I was made it all about me, it wasn't good. When I made it about me helping my team and playing every day like it's opening day and I don't give a crap about me, it worked better. I was a better competitor. I was a better teammate. I was better at everything that I did. It's a weird game because you obviously you need to do well, but how do you do well? You have attainable goals, daily goals. When I used to coach with the Blue Jays and I'd ask them what their goals are, and they'd say, oh, I want to hit 300 with 20 and 80 ribbies. I'm like, really? So you start the season 1-for-20. Now you're in catch-up mode. The only goal that I want players to have every single day is how many games in a row can I be the best competitor on the field to help my team win? How many, whether I'm getting hits or not. See, how you play when you're not getting hits for a position player is going to dictate how far that you play. Like, how great a competitor can I be when I'm not getting my hits? When I get my hits, everything's good, right? Food tastes better. We're all great. How about when you pop that 1-for-20? Are you the same teammate? Are you the same guy? How do you do it? How do I compete with confidence when I'm not getting hits? Is going to dictate how far you play. I'm convinced of that. You know, how come every first round pick doesn't play 10 years in the big leagues?
Right.
They have the ability. Some can't get out of A ball because it's about their mind. It's about their compete. And I truly believe that I was a better competitor than I was a player. I didn't want to trade abilities with anybody. I like my abilities. It's like Billy Beane's quote on my website. He's like, Spring, if you knew this at 18, instead of learning at 30, people might know who you are. I'm like, thanks, buddy. Yeah, everybody goes, is Billy Beane that great a GM? I'm like, hey, bro, when you're in room with me for 2 years, you pick up something.
I did remember reading a story about you in Moneyball, but they didn't give you that kind of credit.
No, he didn't.
I want to give you a chance. You will do it at the end so that people are prepared for it. You already mentioned about the quality at bat site. We're going to come back to that at the end so people can jot it down. But I know that one of the CDs you have, and you've touched on it at different times in this conversation, is the analogies of baseball and the Christian walk. Just give us a couple. I'm not going to owe you $20 for this. So just give. it sounds like you'd be a lot wealthier if everybody paid you for your material.
I've made hundreds of thousands of those, and if there's 2 million floating around the country, I say you're light.
So just give us a little bit of what you talk about in that one, the analogies of baseball and the Christian walk.
Well, fortunately, it's Pete McKenzie, who's like walking Jesus. This guy played baseball at Auburn back in the 50s, 60s, and then he played pro baseball. He got to Toledo for a little bit, and I go to a Bible study every Friday morning, 200 men, and, we do some worship, and then Pete gives a message, and he's one of my best friends now. He's a mentor. I took him to a retreat with 500 men in Bakersfield, and we were driving home, and I just always felt there was analogies based on the Christian walk, and I just put my phone on, and I just started asking him questions, and that pitcher's, for a hitter, that pitcher's saying he's going to try and trick you. He's going to be throwing curveballs at you. He's going to try and make you chase. He's going to make you feel like you suck, it's just watching the game. It's, I think that if guys would, it's on my website for free. and you don't even have to pay for it. I'm trying to, you know, help people know the truth. And, you know, it's like I said, I beat myself up more than anybody. I mean, I think about my sin more than my Savior a lot of times, and that's wrong, but that's what Satan wants you to feel. And, you know, let's go opening day with Jesus today and stop letting yesterday's sins beat us up today. And, you know, and tomorrow's not here. So let's do it today. You know, you want a streak going? Opening day with Jesus today and see how many days in a row you could walk with him. And, I don't know. I didn't give that the Christian CD any justice because it's more Pete talking, and I highly recommend getting it. And it comes with my bundle. So if anybody went out there and got my bundle, it comes in there for free. And yeah.
All right. So now, again, so that people are now ready, tell us how we can get in contact with you, order any of your products. Maybe if I'm a high school coach or a college coach and I want you to come and speak, how do I go about that?
Well, everything I have is quality at bats. And I stole that from Clint Hurdle. You know, Clint used to put a Q on the lineup card if you had a quality at bat. And now I knew that even if I had a couple Qs and didn't get a hit, I knew I was playing the next day. So I owe my whole business to Clint. I've told him that, you know, you've had him on your show. He's such a great speaker and a good friend of mine. And it's qualityatbats.com is my website. You get a coupon code springtime, and you get everything I made, including my book. You know, it's like the baseball version of Rudy, my life story. And there's going to be a movie one day. Any movie producers out there, go ahead and hit me up, because I think it needs to be a movie. And Twitter, Quality at Bats, Facebook, qualityatbats.com/newsletter. You get my newsletter that we throw out a couple days, and just trying to win the game. We have an online academy, qabacademy.com, where we got over 100 audios and videos in that. And for like, you know, $90, you get in there for a year. We keep adding content every month, but, you know, I'm just trying to help kids and parents, Mark, and it's been awesome. And great catching up with you. And if you want me to come speak, coaches out there, just, you know, quality at bats. Follow me on Twitter and shoot me a DM. It's basically the easiest way.
All right. Yeah, that's great. There's a lot of good stuff here that we've talked about and a lot of good stuff I've seen. I guess basically I see more stuff on Twitter than anything else. And I just the focus of what you're doing to me is so important. And in particular, obviously it's important if you're a big league player, but I'm even more concerned about the young people who are giving up on the game when they haven't even really begun it yet. So I thank you for everything you're doing. And again, it's great getting caught up. We got a chance to talk about a month or two ago and have seen each other here and there passing in baseball, but it's good to catch up with you. And I appreciate you joining us.
Hey, Mark. Love you, buddy. Thank you so much.
All right, Spring. Love you, too.
Now, Spring has an obvious passion for the game of baseball and for those who play a baseball. And for him, it doesn't matter if they're Major League All-Stars or a 10-year-old boy who spends most of his time sitting the bench. I also appreciate him overlooking one of my blunders. What I meant to say is that people are playing to show how far they can hit the ball or how hard they can throw the ball. And I said hit the ball. Of course, that's his goal, and that should be the goal of hitters, to hit it hard. But he overlooked that, but I meant actually lighting up the radar gun as a pitcher. But anyway, Spring's life story and what he teaches should inspire all of us, whether we play baseball or not. And we need to remember God has granted each of us life in this world, and he calls us to live it for his glory and to enjoy him in the process. We need to stop believing the lies. We need to stop falling into the traps that ensnare us. Spring's advice isn't only for a young man while he plays the game, but for long after he's done playing the game. Ultimately, much of what he says is valuable for all of us, whether we're in the game or not. And I thoroughly enjoy the game of baseball, and I'm a pitching guy, so pitching is what I supposedly know. But what Spring teaches batters makes perfect sense to me. And even more, as a Christian, what really hit home was when he said, "I think about my sin more than my Savior." That makes no sense. That makes no sense at all. The long-expected Jesus came 2,000 years ago, and he was born to set his people free, to free us from sin, so that in him we find our rest. Jesus comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. This child is Christ the King. Glory be to him now and forever. Come and let us adore him and declare tidings of comfort and joy. With the angels heard on high, let's join in singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." I want to wish you all a very blessed and merry Christmas as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior with fighting, laughing, and feasting. Maybe we could consider it another opening day. But that's a conversation for another day. Join us next time for In the Bullpen on the Fight, Laugh, Feast Network. Thank you for listening.